welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. I am profoundly, deeply grateful that you chose to be with me on this April 6th day, 2019. We're going to be looking at the pure in heart. What did Jesus mean by blessed are they that are pure of heart, for they shall know the kingdom of heaven? We will talk a little bit about that and hopefully help you. Well, it's my goal is to help you. You're going to have to put aside everything that confuses you to be able to understand what Jesus meant by the pure in heart. I want to remind you about your pure in heart. I hope that you are enjoying these radio programs, and I hope you will consider being a sponsor. If not for your tax-deductible gifts, your sponsorship, this radio program would not, and I say would not, be on the air. And we barely make it as it is. I hope that you will help us by becoming a sponsor of Aspire. And a sponsor is a person who makes a donation either monthly or quarterly, whatever works, and allows me to pay for airtime and all the things that matter for radio and my work at hospice, my general work as well, you know, working at, helping little kids through the BATMO. There's all sorts of things that Aspire does to serve humankind. The radio is just one small part of it, but it's a vital part, like television. Your donations support that as well. So if you're interested and you really want to make a gift to the world, something that lasts inside of a person, me bringing to them an authentic spiritual practice, or at least to introduce that to people, which is a very valuable thing. I hope you will become a sponsor. Go to the website, if you will, at aspire.org. That's A-S-P-I-R-E.org, O-R-G. If you go there, down at the bottom of the page, you will see why support Aspire. Just click on it. Let it rip, okay? And it'll tell you everything you wanted to know about supporting Aspire, your tax deduction, the wonderful little benefits you get, the message of the month, each and every month for you, a special message that I do, access to my podcast, video casts, and commentaries each month, as well as 122 TV discourses on all sorts of subjects from passing through the fires, nobody likes you anyway, the Eightfold Path, the Tao. Oh, there's so many. Go take a look. They're all there to serve you and to help you with your life and possibly help you come into that beautiful place of spiritual awakening. Spiritual awakening. What does it mean? I know a lot of people in my day, in my 47 years of being a teacher, who told me that they knew everything about spiritual work. They just knew everything, and they were more than happy to tell me all about what they knew, and I would sit and listen. These are colleagues, and they are friends, and they're students, and they're pundits. I have seen them all in my years, but none of them really measured up to very much. Not really. When you have large amounts of people coming to you, it's usually because you're saying things they can understand and hear that they think will make their life better. It has nothing to do with the meaning of their life or the meaning of this experience. It's just that this is what they want. They want to get through this life, and they want to have some kind of meaningful life for themselves and get the things they want and have a better, easier life and have everything be really smooth. That's what they want. Inner work is inner work, and you have to look at yourself, and you have to look at him or her inside of you, whatever him or her is, and instead of being grouchy about it and unkind, you have to be able to forgive and to understand the nature of the human being. And that is a very difficult thing for most people. I'll be honest with you. Most people do not have the mental acuity to do it. They just don't. They have given themselves over to every form of entertainment, every thought they've ever had, both cruel and unkind and merciless. And basically, they try to hide it. They try to pretend like it's not there, but there it is. We live as a compensation for our humanity. That's the way we live. We don't live in the depths of ourselves. We live as a compensation to our humanity, and we try to compensate for it in every way, shape, and form. And of course, in doing so, we remove ourselves from the vital thing called love. And now we get to the meaning. First question. This comes from Ralph. I don't know where he lives. He doesn't say. Greg, I have listened to some of your TV discourses. They're very good. Well, I'm grateful for that, Ralph. Thank you. I work hard at them, and I'm grateful. My heart, though, desires good. Isn't that correct? Is there anything wrong with that, Ralph? Yes, Ralph, there's a lot wrong with that. First of all, it isn't your heart that desires good. It is your genetics, your biological genetics. It is your emotionality. It is also your DNA. It is combined within the encapsulated version of your humanity. And it is in your humanity, your encapsulated point of view, where your emotions, your mental acuity, your DNA, which is always looking for survival, all of this comes down into one thing and makes up what we call the human being. And so when your quote-unquote heart desires something, it isn't your spiritual heart, it's your human heart. And this is where everybody gets passionate and it's stupid. And when we get down to this part of a person's life, not much good comes out of that. The only thing that happens in all of that is that convolution sets in, fear sets in, anger sets in, hatred. It's a setup for jealousy, pride, and vanity. And nothing ever beautiful can come out of that. So when you think of your heart, you're just thinking of your emotionality. You're thinking of your bodily functions. Your heart can feel very sentimental. It can feel of pity. It can feel sympathy. It can feel hatred at the same time, just downright hatred. It hates anything that keeps it from getting what it wants, or it feels threatened by someone or someone else's heart that is trying to do the same thing that your heart's trying to do, but they're better at it than you, and they get all the fluff and buff and all of that. You get nothing. You get just hardcore work or whatever. So you can look at it, Ralph, any way you want. No, that is not the heart. Not at all. That is the human heart. And the human heart puts into motion a karma that is deeply, deeply painful. I can't talk you down from the human heart. If you really want to know why we're all here, we are all here because we live in the human heart. We do a lot of ugly things with the human heart. We do a lot of unsavory things. We say unkind things. We do stupid things. I see people saying to me, I've got to change my life. And so they go out and they do something really stupid. Really stupid. And they'll move away, or they'll move over here, or they'll buy this, or they'll marry that, or whatever. And they never change anything. Not one single thing has changed, because wherever you go, there you are. And they just start all over again with the same trippy stuff. It's very, very difficult for human beings to wake up. And the trouble is, you don't have to bring the human being along to spiritually awaken. You don't have to change that. You don't have to lug that around. But the human is allowed to have all sorts of, oh, how do I even use the word without getting vulgar? It gets whatever it wants. It just gets whatever it wants. It is vulgar. The human being of us is oftentimes very vulgar. And the only time it's ever becoming graceful or beautiful is when it's under the influence of the spiritual heart, which is very rare. Very, very rare. So, Ralph, let this be your criteria. If you are doing anything out of the human heart, you will feel desire, pride, vengeance. You will feel jealousy. You will feel passion. You will feel all sorts of crazy things that make you want to do things that are unkind, that are in your favor and hurt other people. There is a sacrifice that has to be made in order to spiritually awaken. And that sacrifice is not something that most people are willing to make. I have students who have come and studied with me, and they studied. They did not really work on themselves at all, but they studied. And once they studied and they saw what I was teaching, they were kind of happy about it. And then as I went deeper and deeper into their lives, trying to help them understand what they need to do, they suddenly found out that, oh, I don't want to do that. I can't do that. I won't try to overcome that. I won't do it. And it's something in the physicality of a person that they just don't want to do because they're afraid. We just don't want to be too inconvenienced, Ralph. That's the truth. And because I don't want to be too inconvenienced, my practice turns into mush. Just something for you to think about. Thank you, Ralph, for your question. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question, Carol, and she just says she lives in California. What did Jesus mean by blessed are the pure in heart, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven? Carol, these are words like Buddha who taught, see how you love and what keeps you from the journey. These are words of great wisdom. You can intellectually understand certain things that the great masters have taught, Buddha, Jesus, Lhasa. You can hear them. You can listen to them. You can rationalize their teachings to fit your mental acuity. You can do whatever you want. But the message that is most pungent and most important is the message of love. What is the pure in heart? That is really a beautiful statement, probably the most profound the world has ever heard. Blessed are the pure in heart, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you really love, you never leave your pure in heart. People will say they love you, but they don't. They love what they love. They love how they love, but they don't love at all. People will say, oh, I love you, but really what they're saying is, I love the mechanism of my love. I love the way I love. It's comfortable. It's gratifying. It's right. It's righteous. I have the options of love, and that means I could hurt you or whatever. I've heard it all in my day. And it is the measure of great human stupidity. The only thing worth living for in this world is love itself. Without love, there is absolutely no meaning to this life. And that's why we have gone technological. We have a lot of techie stuff. We have a lot of beautiful merchandise, but we have no heart. We have no love. We have no interest in love, none whatsoever. Love is much bigger than all of that. And the reason we don't get it is because we don't have a soul. People think everybody has an immortal soul, but they don't. The soul exists. You are and I are stuck in the loop of birth and death over and over and over again. This loop that we're stuck in is there not only because of karma, but because of our insistence that love is emotional, that it can even be psychological. And because we insist that love be this way, we miss what real love is all about, the constant of authentic love, which is found only in the heart, the real heart, not the physical heart, not the human body, but in the heart of your essence, your very being. This is realized through love. But there comes a moment where you and I have to realize there's a certain sacrifice that has to be made. And if I'm not willing to make that sacrifice in my life, I will not mature and grow. I will not ever know one moment in this lifetime of the heart, the real heart. Because the real heart is a constant, a forgiving. It brings about insight. It brings about the depths of what it means to have real intelligence. The pure in heart is a heart that is no longer split. It is no longer seeking comfort and security. It is no longer split by moral righteousness and that which is truly of love. It is not split. It would rather die at the hands of an enemy than live in the victory of overcoming that enemy. This is something I said it on one of my recent TV programs that is airing, What is the Point of It All? Not one person heard it, listened to it, and wrote me and said, what did you mean by that? Because that is just not right, if you really think about it. But it is better to die at the hand of your enemy in love. Remember Obi-Wan Kenobi? Remember how he surrendered to the evil of Darth Vader as he slashed him? He just gave in to it. There was a symbol to that. It was a great symbol. I'm not a Star Wars kind of guy, but I love that. I was very moved by that. Sometimes you have to understand what it means and the price that must be paid to spiritually awaken. And most people don't have that kind of horsepower because you've always got to be dangling in front of a person what the benefits are. Everybody wants benefits. If you have to be told that there are benefits to a spiritual practice, you're not ready for a spiritual practice. You may be ready for philosophy and religion and all of that other good stuff, but you're not ready for the inner work. You're not worthy of the inner work. Not at that stage. You have to want love more than wanting what you think is love. Carol, this statement that Jesus made about the pure in heart, it's one of the most important statements the world has ever heard. And it sustains a beautiful part of living our life, not in comfort, but in compassion. Not in desire and ambition, but in humility and meekness. Few of us ever attain to that. People live to get a better life, whatever they think that is. And the complications of their human life and their human thinking make for a very ugly affair in this world, very, very difficult life. So there you are. Is it love you seek, or is it life you want to know? Because love is life and life is love. And they are very, very important. Few people ever know the kingdom of heaven that lives within. They'd rather have the world and what they want and the comforts of the world than the comfort that is love. I hope that helps you, Carol. I do. Forgive me for my lengthy answer. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question from Rich in San Diego. He asks, you speak of the heart a great deal. What is the heart exactly, Rich? The heart that I speak of is a state of being. It is the state of being that is consciousness itself. It is the state of being where love is more important than anything in this lifetime. It is a quality of consciousness. The heart is the love of the soul. And because we are not willing to do those things that would bring about the soul, not at all, we suffer the grievously to live in the emotionality of the human heart, which is not something that predicates insight or compassion or gives us anything other than fear and hate. Just seeking the heart is a huge thing. It is a huge step forward in the inner workings of this world. If one of us, just one of us, attains to the heart at any given time, the soul unfolds like a lotus blossom, countless petals. And instead of living in the cycle of birth and death over and over and over again in useless tragedies, tragedies that don't do anything but complicate our life and the way we think and bring about this inner idea of rebellion for the sake of vengeance, we don't mature. We don't grow. We don't have any sense of the value of life. The value of life is found in not contemplation, but in meditation. You won't find it in my words. You will only find it in the gap and the spaces between my words. It is there that you will find the ultimate meaning of your life. It is love that is love. It is not anything else but that. Love is itself. And the soul, is the purveyor of that love. So until you and I are tired of our mischief, our worldly mischief, until we are tired of living our life the way we do, from the human body to the human body, being devoted to something that eventually is going to grow old and die, that is susceptible, obviously, to impermanence. Until we are willing to let go of all of that and come into something that is deeply eternal, we have nothing. We have absolutely nothing. We will just live from body function to body function to body function, never finding the way of the heart. Soul, which is very sad. You will gain many things in this lifetime, and you will lose many things in the course of this lifetime. But the one thing we all need to gain and never lose is the heart. That is the essence of it all. That is the spirit of it all. That is the thrust of living, to live in the spiritual heart. For blessed are the pure in heart, for they are the ones that see the way of the kingdom of heaven that lives within us all. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, I hope that helped. I do. It's been a wonderful, wonderful series of questions, and I want to thank my my listeners and those who offered their questions. And if you ever have one, I hope you will send me your question. You can get me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful, beautiful day. I'll see you tomorrow. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.